and we have a hearing. So let me get my right talking points.
I feel like we should have different outfits for each, you know, role we're playing.
Mustafa.
Here it is.
Knew I had it.
Okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll start off with legal counsel making an announcement about today's hearing.
So first, we're going to let Carla read the item.
Very good. Let's wait till she gets back to her desk.
I could, but
no, we'll wait.
Odd.
There's not much we can do until she gets the PowerPoint working anyway. This is why her job is secure. She's the only one who can make that thing work. You didn't miss anything. It's just the part where we try to get the PowerPoint to work. Oh, great. Awesome. Thank you. So, Carla, if you could read the item, please, 480.
Okay. Item 480, appeal of TMT Development Company, Inc., against the Portland Design Commission's decision, design review decision of approval with conditions in the West End subarea of the downtown subdistrict of Central City Plan District at 901 through 919 Southwest Taylor Street, LU16265061DZM.
All right, thank you. And now we can get to the attorney giving us some procedural information.
All right. This is an on-the-record hearing today. This means you must limit your testimony to materials and issues in the record. We'll begin with a staff report by Bureau of Development Services for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and have 10 minutes to present their case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next, and each person will have 3 minutes to speak to Council. Following that, the principal opponent will address counsel and rebut appellant's presentation. If there is no principal opponent, counsel will move directly to testimony from persons who oppose the appeal. After a principal opponent, counsel will hear from persons who oppose the appeal, and each will have 3 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents to the appeal. Counsel may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If it is a tentative vote, Council will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote. If Council takes a final vote today, that concludes the matter before Council. There are several guidelines for those who will be addressing Council today. First, the evidentiary record is closed. Again, it's on the record. The hearing is to decide only if the body below made the correct decision based on the evidence that was presented. This means you must limit your remarks to arguments based on the record compiled below. You may refer to evidence that was previously submitted. You may not submit new evidence today that was not submitted before. If your argument includes new evidence or issues, you may be interrupted and reminded that you must limit your testimony to the record. The Council will not consider the new information, and it will be rejected in the City Council's final decision. Second, if you believe a person who addresses Council today improperly presents new evidence or presents a legal argument relying on evidence not in the record, you may object to that argument. Finally, under state law, only issues that were raised here may be raised below may be raised in this appeal to City Council. If you believe another person has raised issues today that were not raised below at the Design Commission, you may object to the Council's consideration of that issue. Additionally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the Council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. And that concludes my remarks.
Very good. Do any members of the Council wish to declare a conflict of interest? I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I have taken campaign contributions in the past from TMT Development. I don't know if that qualifies, but I'd like clarity on that.
Does not qualify.
A potential conflict of interest is an action that you could take in your official capacity that could or would be to your personal benefit. I don't think a past campaign contribution would fall into that. And
no.
I think there may be some exemptions. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit on the spot without my ethics code in front of me, but there may be some exceptions.
Feel free to excuse me at any time if you think it's
warranted.
I think
you're on the hook. I think you
Very
have to
good.
Participate.
Any other commissioners?
Can I just comment on that? That's the first time anybody in my recollection while I've been on the council has stated that, and I think it's a nice piece of clarity and transparency whether it's a conflict of interest or not. I appreciate you saying so.
Very good.
I think it's a disclosure. I think we should be careful not to use conflict of interest in an all too generic way. I appreciate the mayor disclosing it. It doesn't constitute, in my judgment, a conflict of interest. And there's nothing that precludes us, I think the council will tell us, from over-disclosing. But that does not establish that he has a personal financial interest in the outcome.
Very good. Unfortunately, it sounds like I don't get excused from this afternoon's hearing. It was a good try on my part.
Might have worked for jury duty, Mayor, but it's not going to work here.
There you go. So no members of the council have an actual conflict of interest. Do any of the members of the city council have ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing to disclose?
Mayor, I don't have any ex parte on this, but I do walk by the building all the time on my way to work. So technically, I'm aware of the site.
Very good. Would you agree, City Attorney, that does not constitute an ex parte contact?
It actually does constitute an ex parte contact, but you just disclosed it on the record. So if people on a regular basis are familiar with the site, then yes, you would just say that on the record.
Interesting. I am also familiar with the site. Very good.
Well, Mayor, in fact, sometimes members of the public that come to these proceedings are surprised that we are so quick to profess complete ignorance about the underlying issue as a way of staying on the side of not having an ex parte contact. But so, like, we're not allowed to take trips to the sites and inspect without disclosing it. This is a hard to miss building. So
yes. Okay, good.
I was just going to say that, no doubt, I have walked past this multiple times and I cannot remember having taken any particular notes. So.
Very good.
No offense.
No offense.
Okay, so this is more interesting than I thought it would be. I sold this short right off the bat. Does anyone present in the council chambers wish to ask either Commissioners Fish or myself or any others about ex parte contacts or information that has been disclosed? Seeing none, have any members of the council made any visits to the site involved in this matter? And I think some of us have already said we've walked by it. Does anybody here want to ask us about that? Doesn't look like it. Do the council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin the formal hearing? Seeing none, we'll now start with the staff report. And as legal counsel indicated, that's approximately 10 minutes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Thanks for having us. I'm Tanya Paglia from BDS.
And I'm Hillary Adam, BDS, as an assist.
Okay, so we're up. Okay, so this is an appeal of the Design Commission decision for the Studio Building and the Guild Theater located on Southwest Taylor Street. The presentation will have 5 parts: context, proposal, process, decision, and appeal. So the first part is about context. The Studio Building and Guild Theater together occupy approximately 1/4 block and are located in the West End sub-area of the downtown sub-district in the Central City Plan. Because the site lies within these districts, the approval criteria for design review are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. The studio building and connected Guild Theater are located along the South Park blocks and face onto Director Park. The site is in a highly trafficked and visible location, a block from the Central Library and close to Pioneer Courthouse Square, the Cultural District, and the MAX. The buildings are located on a 10,000-square-foot site with frontages on Southwest Taylor and to the and also Southwest 9th to the east. And this view is from the east, looking west across Southwest 9th. It shows the studio building, which is identified by the red arrow, and to its right is the Guild Theater. The two connected buildings were built in 1927 by the Ellison White Conservatory, an institution for the study of music and dramatic art. They were designed by architect Luther Lee Dugan, and they feature three-dimensional busts of Chopin, Bach, Schubert, Mozart, and panels with composers' names. The buildings are listed on the City of Portland's Historic Resource Inventory, the HRI, but are not listed on the National Historic Register. This view is from the south, looking north along Southwest 9th, just to give you more context. The studio building is a 9-story building, as you can see, with a mansard roof. The adjacent Guild Theater is a 2-story building, and they're interconnected at the ground floor. And another view of the site. This view is from the northeast, looking southwest across Director Park. As you can see, this is a busy pedestrian area at the heart of the city. And another context slide. This is a view from the east, looking west along Southwest Taylor, with Director Park on the right. The site is zoned CXD Central Commercial with design overlay. And moving from context to the proposal itself, the proposal had three main elements. The first was to replace windows on the studio building. The second was for storefront alterations to the Guild Theater. And the third was to replace rooftop mechanical and not provide the required screening. And there was a modification request to not provide the screening as part of the review. So the rest of the presentation is only going to focus on the replacement windows part of the project, as the other two are not in any kind of contest. So the proposal, the applicant requested design review for replacement of 192 of the studio building's existing steel windows, proposing to replace them with aluminum windows. And for the process, there were two design review hearings, and before that there was a pre-application conference. At the pre-application conference, the applicants got some feedback from staff that these are significant buildings for the city's architectural and cultural fabric. And staff highly recommended pursuing information about possibly listing the buildings. Then onto the design review. That was January 19, 2017. Staff had come in with a recommendation of approval. The commission rejected the staff report, and they were unanimous that the guidelines C3, respect architectural integrity, and A6, reuse, rehabilitate, and restore buildings, were not met by the proposal. The commission commented that this is a very important historical building for the city and noted that it is one of the biggest buildings in the city with original steel windows, and that the existing steel windows are a character-defining feature of the studio building. They were concerned that the applicant had not thoroughly explored retention of the existing windows or explored replacement with more similar windows. Beyond the change in material from steel to aluminum, the profile of the proposed replacement window differed a great deal from the original windows. The commission noted that the architectural integrity and significance of the existing buildings, which would qualify them for the National Register of Historic Places, could be at stake. The commission thus encouraged the applicant to explore the financial benefits of listing both buildings. The commission advised that the financial benefits of listing the buildings could offset the cost of rehabilitation of the existing windows. The commission asked the applicant to return for a second hearing and to bring in-depth information on alternatives to aluminum replacement windows, to include restoration of existing steel windows and replacement with steel replica windows. Overall, the commission requested that the applicant bring enough information to show that due diligence had been performed. And then the hearing was continued to March 2nd. At that hearing, per the request of the commission, the applicant submitted all the information requested about other replacement window options. The information for replacement windows included three models of steel replica windows and three models of aluminum windows. And of these, the applicant had a preferred option, which was an aluminum window by the from the Winco 3250 series. And that window had a better matching profile than the window that had been brought to the previous hearing. The staff report recommended approval with conditions intended to avoid a denial. But they were also intended to uphold the commission's direction that retention of steel windows, a character-defining feature of the building, would help meet guidelines. So staff wrote a condition of approval requiring the original windows to be restored with the understanding that the commission could opt to strike the condition and include their own new condition.
Could I ask a question here, please?
Sure.
And your time obviously gets extended for any time, and this is true for everybody. Your time, we stop the clock
sure.
for questions. So I just want to make sure I understand what happened on March 2nd.
Sure.
So on March 2nd, a set of windows that was aluminum came before the Design Review Commission, and the Design Review Commission agreed that those aluminum windows were acceptable and met the conditions?
There's a little nuance. I mean, they had an aluminum window the first time, and then the second hearing, March 2nd, they did have an aluminum window, but they also presented other options because they had been asked to present other options. However, they had a preferred option. So in essence, they were just presenting that one aluminum window.
So when you say the decision was approval with conditions, what
yes.
did they approve?
So, oh, yeah, I was going to get to that in the next slide. But no, but that, no,
okay.
happy
Thank
to get onto that slide now and not go into too much detail here.
Okay.
So the decision, yes, the addition. So we had recommended an approval of retention of the steel windows, but the commission did not. They struck that condition, and they added their own conditions. So the conditions you're seeing here, they were added by the commission to address the guidelines that we've listed, A6, C2, C3, and C5. And the conditions D and E were the new conditions. Of those, the two sub-bullets, the two last sub-bullets of D are the bullets under contention today. If that makes sense. So
no,
they're not.
I'm slow and I've had a long day. Can you say this in idiot speak so I absolutely understand what the point of contention is?
Sure. So based on everything they saw and everything that the commission wanted, they were able to come up with a approval, but in order to have an approval, they needed the windows to be, you know, more in line with existing. And so to achieve that, they added these conditions.
The two in bold.
The two in bold.
So glazing.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for so much text.
That's all right. So the glazing has to have a greater clarity. What does that mean for those of us who are not window
right.
experts?
That was, so things got very stressful at the end of the hearing.
I can see why.
They wanted the applicant to come back with a glass sample of greater clarity that they could just approve. But the applicant really wanted an up or down vote at that hearing. So they didn't want to wait 2 weeks to come back with a glass sample. So in order to get them out the door with an approval, everyone scrambled with their cell phones to try to find a metric to give to state we need higher clarity. It was hard. It's a hard thing to define without being prepared to do that ahead of time. So in the end, basically what they wanted to say was they wanted greater clarity than what was presented, but of, you know, a tint that would allow them to meet their energy code. So you're trying to give them the way that this condition is written. It's a little
so these are tinted windows and they were too dark.
Yes.
Got
exactly.
It. Thank you.
And I definitely will
Thank
get into
you.
That a little bit later. But the traditional old building has perfectly clear windows because they
Got
didn't
it.
Have tinting. And so we wanted a clearer window. So that's how that condition got added on. And then the other thing was to add the muntins and the spacer bars to create a better simulation of a divided light window, which is a condition that happens throughout all our cases with older buildings. So just wanted to say that they reached an agreement, they reached an approval. After
sorry,
a lot
could you
of
just tell me what a muntin is, please?
Oh, sorry?
What's a muntin?
A muntin is the piece of wood or other material that's between the panes of glass to create those divided lights.
So it's lattice.
Yes, and I'm going to show you guys. I think it's my next slide. No, it's not. But I can cut over to that slide if it helps. But just one last thing about the decision, that it was for approval, but we did have some dissenting commissioners, and they felt that guidelines C3 and A6 were not met. So we had a split decision. But 4 out of 6 did vote in favor.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I remember we had a discussion in a similar proceeding about a building within walking distance of this building where the issue was windows. And one of the questions that came up was cost, and another question that came up was the availability of having them manufactured somewhere. Are either of those issues that have been raised in this proceeding, and are either of them relevant to our decision?
Those issues were raised during the discussion of both hearings 1 and 2. They're not approval criteria, so they're always raised in a kind of sideways way.
Right.
But they were factored in. The commissioners asked the applicants to come back from hearing 1 to hearing 2 with all of that type of information. So, even though we're not supposed to count it, they asked it to be provided to show that how you could compare these different products. And
right. And I guess for my purposes, if cost became so prohibitive you couldn't do it, or if you were unable to find someone who could fabricate, I would view that as relevant. Is there a claim here that the cost is either prohibitive or there's not a manufacturer that could manufacture the windows?
In terms of contesting these bullets or in terms of...
These two bullets,
no. Cost, one of the applicants during the course of the hearing said that the spacer bar button issue was not a financial concern.
Right, that's important.
Not sure about the glazing. Nobody made any statements either way about the glazing, whether there was a financial concern. Right. I think that might be a factor, or it might just be the way it was written.
Well, I mean, if someone said that there's no way I can have someone manufacture this window, so as a practical matter, I can't comply, that would be of interest. And as we had in a case years ago, someone talking about cost and practicality, I mean, that would be in the record. But you're saying, at least for purposes of our discussion now, those have not been raised as issues?
I mean, I'm sure that it adds cost. I'm certain it would add cost. I'm not sure about the glass, but the mutton would. But one of the discussion items happened to come across the fact that the applicant said it wasn't a huge cost. It wasn't the main reason they decided not to do it. They had other reasons they decided not to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Those decisions weren't based on cost
specifically. So it was a split vote, 4 saying they'd like to see lighter and 2 saying they'd like to see darker?
Well, interesting. The 2 who dissented didn't want to see an aluminum window at all. So the aluminum window was a very heavy compromise for the commission. They would have liked to see restoration of the steel windows, the character defining feature of the building, or maybe possibly a steel replica.
And
so to even get to aluminum was...
The majority supported what?
The majority did end up accepting the aluminum window because with discussions with the applicant, they could see that that's what the applicant
so the majority
would be willing to do.
Accepted the proposal, then how did it get here? What happened then?
In accepting it, to get these undesirable, from their perspective, undesirable aluminum windows up to snuff, to the high bar that this building, its importance in the city gives, they said it at least has to have these other elements.
If we're going to accept
an aluminum window,
got it.
You know, if we're going to have an aluminum window, it has to be like the best case scenario for that aluminum window. So that's kind of how that ended up in there.
Okay.
I do have one question. So
sure.
On the all new windows shall feature simulated divided lights with both spacer bars and interior muttons. The option they presented just had exterior muttons. Is that correct?
Yes. And I'm going to show you guys how that looks, an example of how it looks, not their exact window, in one of my future slides, if that would help.
Okay.
I will go to the next slide. This is just a quickie. We added a condition about the lot line windows. This is not contested. I just wanted you to see there was that condition in there if you had a question about it. Those windows are no longer allowed by building code as they're on the lot line. So in order to preserve them, they have to do a building code appeal. So it's just an extra precaution to protect the windows was added as a condition of approval. So I didn't want to confuse you by adding that slide, but I just figured you might have questions about it down the road. So now I'm going to just show you guys a little bit about the divided lights, just to get us on the same page in terms of what we're actually talking about. So the top left is a true divided light. That's what you saw in historical buildings when only smaller panes of glass were available. And so that's the historic condition of most old windows. The top middle is that one that we were hoping to have with our condition of approval. It's the simulated divided light with interior and exterior muttons and spacer bars. And then the one to the right from there, the top right, is also a simulated divided light with no spacer bar, but interior and exterior muttons. And the bottom left is just exterior mutton. And then the one on the bottom right is a highly residential application. You wouldn't probably ever see one of those coming through one of our cases. And then I just wanted to narrow it down. These are the two really in question here. The one on the left is what the applicant proposes and prefers, and the one on the right is what is required with our conditions. So just to give you a real visual of what the difference is, this is a wood window, theirs is aluminum, so it's not exactly what the difference is, but it's
representative.
So I want to be clear, I understand, because in these two pictures, the one on the left doesn't have the same degree of beveling on the, I don't know if those are muttons or separators.
Those are the buttons, yeah.
So is that a true difference in terms of the two?
That wasn't meant to be part of the story.
Not part of the story. The question is simply,
that's unfortunate that they weren't just the
exterior only versus exterior and interior is the debate.
Right. If this had been a better example, the one on the left would have had the same exterior.
Okay, and so is there a difference in if I'm standing outside and I'm looking up at the building, do I see any difference?
We would say that you do, and the commission felt that you would. These windows do open, so, and now that it's getting to be nicer weather, somebody walked by and told me they happened to see, like, a bunch of windows were open today. So you'll see certainly the interior of open windows, but even the closed windows, you would likely, I think just the whole shadow line and all of the sort of completeness of the window system looks different when you have this complete package.
I have a question. So I understand this property is on our historic inventory, but
yes.
That doesn't, I mean, if the developers wanted to, they could tear it down, couldn't they?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. That would have to go through design review, right? But
No. They would have to go through a 120-day demolition delay before they could do that.
Yeah. But that's been happening all over the city.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. This is definitely preferred to that. So this is just a quickie to say that originally staff saw the proposal on the left, and this is all techie, but the circled area is the exterior, interior, mutton, spacer bar. So their first round of hearing one had that. The second hearing didn't have it. So we originally, when we wrote our approval, had seen the one on the left that had all three of those pieces. But I think actually the applicant didn't mean to submit those, but they came to us that way, so we took them at their face value that they were proposing that. But by the time of the second hearing, they were no longer proposing that. And this is just to give just some perspective, because across all our different cases, big houses, small houses, big buildings, condos, school buildings like the Lincoln Center at PCU, this is just a common thing staff asks for. It doesn't usually come down to a condition of approval. Usually sometime in the process of working with the applicant on their proposal, if they haven't already proposed a spacer bar and muttons, by the time it gets to a decision, they've usually added them. So just wanted to show you this is just a sample of the many buildings that have had this type of replacement window. And just quickly about the glass clarity, it was confusing. They came in with that sample that you can see the sort of the numerical values there. And it would have been easier to compare it with another glass sample to make the final decision, but that wasn't possible. So they took this one and they said, let's just say another one that's clearer and condition around that. So that's how that condition came to be. On the right, you can see how some of the buildings with replacement windows look shiny and green. Glass clarity is part of a traditional historic building, so that was important for the commission, and they wanted to find a way to write a condition for that. So the appeal statement, I'll just leave it up for you guys to look at it. There's four different elements of it. It's also in the proposal, or in the notice, I think. Or is it better if I read it?
Okay.
I'll just let you guys read it.
So just to summarize, in looking at this, there is a claim of cost. There's a claim of procedural error. There's a claim of, I guess, cost benefit. That's what the 4% is. And then I guess the issue that just I could use some clarification on is that the difference between the exterior and interior of the building for purposes of the scope of the design commission's review. Legally significant difference.
I can address that.
And I'll go into our responses while you do that.
I mean, the windows are an element of the exterior envelope of the building, and it is standard practice that we, if interior muttons and spacer bars are not already proposed for buildings of this caliber, we would suggest that the applicant provide that, and if they didn't, it's a fairly common condition on historic buildings. We don't see too many of these through design review, but there have been a few.
In the picture in the top right of this slide, where it shows the windows opening out, mm-hmm. is that representative of how these windows open?
Correct. That's so that window.
That yeah. explains why you've said earlier that when the windows are open, and because sometimes we think of windows opening being you slide them up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These actually open out so that, in fact, from the sidewalk, you can see both the interior and the exterior of that window.
Correct.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah, and this slide here is just showing our responses to those different points. I could try to summarize it. I guess I'm...
Read those.
I don't want to read you guys to death here, but so basically the commission believed that the guidelines would not be met with other conditions. That was response to one of their issues, and that they did feel that the interior, exterior muttons and spacer bars were a standard expectation for the replacement of a divided light window and to maintain the character of the building. The applicant stated during the hearing that adding muttons and spacer bars would not be a great expense for the project. And I'm sure they'll speak to that when they come up. That was just something they said. They said their reasoning was because they thought no one was really going to see it from the ground. So they were more motivated by why bother, you know, than money. So that's why we didn't feel too worried about adding the condition because it wasn't a cost factor per se. The second response is that the commission rejected the entire window sample at the first hearing. So with the procedural question about this didn't come up at the first hearing. Well, at the first hearing, the commission said absolutely no to the entire window, which included the glazing. They didn't focus on the glazing because they just were so dissatisfied with the entire window that was being proposed. Glazing was only a part of that window, and they had so much to discuss that didn't become a discussion item. Once they were trying to actually make the new window proposal, they wanted to make it work, and they wanted to find a way to approve it. So they worked really hard to find what things can we change about this window to make it approvable. And glazing was one of those things they thought that if it were changed, it would become an approvable window. So that was the sort of procedural concern they had, why it came up at the second hearing, not the first. Trying to see what else. And so...
Could I ask a question about the 4% differentiation in the, I think it was in the glazing, if I remember correctly. I can't find it right now.
The slide up. This is their concerns.
Yes. That the conditioned glass only has a clarity 4% greater than the appellant's. Again, I'm no great expert on glass clarity, but 4% seems like a rather small difference?
Right.
I mean, how visible is that?
I can't answer the question of how visible it is, but I can say that so what happened was they said, this isn't clear enough. We need you to bring something clearer.
But based on what standard?
That was the...
I mean, 4%?
Right. That was the challenge. They didn't ask for a 4% difference. What they asked for was bring us the very clearest glass you can bring while still meeting your energy requirements. But this was being done on the fly in a hearing. So everyone was pulling out their phones trying to say, what would be the clearest glass that would still meet their energy requirements clearer than this glass? And so it came down to, well, everyone knows of this one particular glass, the Starfire, is a little bit clearer. So let's use that as the baseline standard. And so the condition is written to say that they have to bring a clearer glass, or they have to use a clearer glass than what was presented, with a baseline of the Starfire and hopefully better than the Starfire, but at a minimum the Starfire. So that's where that 4% kind of came from, is the difference between the Starfire, which was a frame of reference for the commissioners that they'd worked with, versus what was presented to them. Because this was all just that mad scramble of, like, bring back a glass sample in 2 weeks and the applicant saying, no, we want an answer today. So it kind of, we hashed it out. It's an imperfect way to do it, but we really wanted to get them approved and out the door.
Okay. The condition is written so that they have some flexibility in terms of that they don't have to use that brand of window, but as long as the clarity is equal to that and greater than what
is proposed.
I'm
just proposed. Trying to see the bigger picture here. I mean, this is an historic building. It's a great building. It's right in the center of the central city. We've invested heavily in public infrastructure in the immediate vicinity, and the building, though grand she is a tired old dump in need of a lot of attention, and somebody's offering us an opportunity to do that, and we're quibbling over 4% greater clarity. I mean, as an outsider to this thing, I certainly appreciate where we're trying to go, but this seems really in the weeds.
I understand that. The 4% value came after the hearing when the appeal came in.
Okay.
I think that was the applicant noting that it's a 4% greater clarity. I think across the broad spectrum of the entire facade, that would add up as you're looking into it. Historic buildings have clear glass. Anything darker than clear is going to essentially betray it as a replacement window.
Right. Well, and the energy efficiency quotient is also important to me. I mean,
sure.
It's separate from this hearing. We've set very aggressive climate goals for the city of Portland, and we've asked developers and builders to actively participate in helping us to achieve those goals. They didn't worry about that 100 years ago, and now we do.
Let me offer just a slightly different context for how I'm now going to hear the other evidence, because we're just getting the staff report. The park that faces this building is one of the great public spaces in our city and was built 60-40 private public resources and was one of the great acts of generosity of Tom Moyer and Jordan Schnitzer to build this thing. It was deliberately built as hardscrabble and in a design enhancement that proposed by Zeri Santner, it was built building to building. So the park is extended, so the design includes the street. So the entire plaza could be activated. We all have different aesthetic judgments, and I'm not prejudging this issue, but having invested a lot of my time and life in bringing that park to fruition as the then parks commissioner in charge, I will say that perhaps the singular view of that park is facing this historic building. No disrespect to the two modern towers, which are updating our downtown. But there is something magical about the way the park interacts with the Guild, and that I think is also historically significant because the Guild is so identified with Tom Moyer's legacy around film and that building, and the park would not have happened without an extraordinary act of generosity. But again, the two, there is a symbiotic relationship between the two, and they were designed in tandem. And I would just offer that as a perspective as we think about the windows.
That's fair. Great. Any other thoughts, questions? Very thorough staff report.
I think
report.
Tanya has one last slide.
Oh, I apologize.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to say, I pulled up the glazing slide just to show you guys one more time of you know, what glazing can mean on a building with a lot of windows. It can be very green, very distracting, very reflective compared to what you see in the Guild in that lower left-hand corner, which is all very, very clear glass. So it just, it seems petty, but it is an important element of the building. It's a highly glazed building.
So I had a question about that, too, and I believe me, I'm not trying to be problematic, but if you look at, what am I looking at? Is that St. Mary's there? I can't tell what, MLC. So you've got MLC up there on the right, and they have fairly dark glazed windows.
And those were replacement
and
windows,
and you'll notice
yeah.
the blinds are up. And then you look at the historic building with its clear glazing, and the blinds are all closed. And again, that sort of, you know, I know that there have been discussions about this glazing issue before and whether blinds are what you see from the outside or whether windows are what you see from the outside. So I just want to throw that out there as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the building's been under a lot of turnover. There might have been construction on that floor because that whole floor had the blinds in a very consistent way and the rest of the building didn't. So that building's under a lot of transition right now.
Fair.
I don't know if those blinds would always be down on a normal day. So maybe the owners can speak to that.
Very good.
Okay, so I'm asked to go to my last slide. okay, so then you have these alternatives that you can deny the appeal and uphold what was already issued. You can deny the appeal and uphold the commission, but also even still monkey around with the conditions. Or you can grant the appeal, and you can remove the third and fourth bullets of the condition of approval D, and that would still uphold the decision of approval, or you can continue the hearing.
Very good.
And I think that's it.
Excellent. Very thorough staff report. Thank you. Appreciate it. So next up, the appellant has 10 minutes. And again, you should expect you'll get interrupted with questions, but that doesn't count towards your 10 minutes. If you could just state your name for the record, please.
Were these glass pieces shown at the hearing?
This one was, and this is showing the former set.
But this was the one that you're now touching, was that shown at the hearing?
No, because we didn't know that we had. This is part of the condition.
So could I get some clarity as to whether we're allowed to consider that?
Unfortunately, the new sample would be considered new evidence.
Thank you.
But...
Vanessa Sturgeon, representing the Tired Old Dump, VANESSASTURGEON.
Can I interrupt and clarify my remarks there? It's a beautiful old building.
I was totally joking, Mayor. It's no, just fine.
But the building needs attention, and my point was actually to compliment you.
Well, thank you.
And acknowledge that you're trying to make a significant investment in a building that I think most people would acknowledge is worthy of that investment. So I'm actually applauding you and your colleagues for being willing to make an investment in that building rather than doing as Commissioner Udaly suggested, which you have the legal right to do after 120 days, which is demolish it.
I was definitely not suggesting that you do that.
Thank you.
No, and I'm not suggesting that. So I just want to be really clear. I'm complimenting you and thanking you for being willing to go through the process of trying to restore what was an architectural gem. So thank you for that.
Thank you, and you're right. I would agree. It really is in need of significant attention. So the purpose of the window replacement is that the windows are currently corroding and leaking, and they are composed, unfortunately, of lead. So we are looking to replace them to prolong the life of the building, to stop the leaking, and, of course, to improve the energy efficiency. The proposed new window matches the building's original craftsmanship and material quality in style, color, operability, and form. And I will tell you, this has been an incredibly taxing journey for my staff. It has taken us 2 years to get to this point where we have been able to find a satisfactory product to replace these windows. They just aren't manufactured anymore. So, you know, kudos to my staff, Kristen in particular, for doing 2 years worth of research to find an acceptable option. As you can see, the existing condition of the windows are very poor. The casements are inoperable. Concern over attachment integrity is a euphemism for falling out. Some of them are in with duct tape. And we are concerned about lead dust exposure from peeling and delaminating paint. The 7th, 8th, and 9th floor windows are leaking significantly, and the windows are single pane, which is why you see the blinds closed often, because they leak hot and cold air in and out, and they are unfortunately don't do a lot to block noise on the street, so people close their blinds in an effort to mitigate those issues. This is a photo of the existing window and an elevation of the existing window, and the proposed window elevation is included on the far right. We think that it matches the existing windows quite well.
I don't understand. What do you mean by elevation?
An elevation is an architectural rendering drawing. So the difference between a photograph and an elevation are, you know, an actual picture and a rendering. So when we're talking about the differences in these windows, we're talking about widths that are 2/8 of an inch and 1/8 of an inch slimmer than what is existing. The muntin proposed for the exterior will be the exact same size as what is existing. So the only thing at issue today is whether or not those muntins are continued onto the inside of the building. I think it's important to note that we've chosen to move forward with a different window series than was originally proposed to the Design Commission on January 19th. They asked us to come back with a window that more closely matched the measurements of the head, jamb, and sill, and we did that with the Winco 3250 series. There was a $70,000 premium to do so, and we accepted that premium as an improvement to the overall project. It is our position that the proposed window, Winco 3250, meets the C3 guideline, and the conditions of approval go beyond a reasonable interpretation of the intent of the code. So the first condition was that the glazing for the windows shall have a greater clarity than the sample presented at the March 2nd hearing. And part of the frustration is that we did bring glass samples to the January 19th hearing, and we heard no objection from the Design Review Commission about the clarity of the glass in that first hearing. So what they've proposed and includes that 4% variation adds a $57,000 cost premium. The second condition is that the muntins will be added to the inside of the buildings. Now, I'd ask you also to consider that the windows are 16 feet from the ground. So the conjecture that they'll be seen from the street level, I think, is quite a stretch. So again, that adds additional cost to the project that is, at this point, unfortunately, a budget buster for us. We've accepted the additional $70,000 condition. We're working with a bank on the project. It's a $2 million window replacement, and an 11% premium that's being requested here is just puts the project over the line in terms of budget. We don't feel that a 4% greater clarity better meets with the intent of design guideline C3. And, well, we had two glass samples to show you, but it is very, very hard to tell the difference, if you can tell at all, between the conditions that the design review has put on with the glass clarity. Again, those windows are 16 feet off of the ground. So this is a good perspective of how far off the ground these windows are. A south-facing view, the same 16 feet off the ground. Oops. Okay. So our proposed windows respect the original character of the studio building by replicating the exterior muttons on the current windows. And as shown in the visuals from the third and second slides, we've also brought a sample of the mutton with us that is here for you to see in person. The condition of approval does not help us meet the design guidelines of C3. The windows we're proposing in their current state already meet it. It's on this particular appeal. One of the reasons that we had to call for a vote at the end of the second hearing was that we received new direction again at that first hearing with the glass. Then we received more feedback at the second hearing. It took us a month to get back on the calendar for the second hearing, and we need to take advantage of the timing with the good weather coming in the summer, or we will have to wait until next year at the very earliest to do the project. Again, we have financing that is coming through a bank on this project, and the additional $120,000 that's added to the project, or $105,000 rather, puts us over budget in terms of what we have penciled in for the renovation of the building. And it's in the context of an $8 million renovation overall. A lot of that is going into modernizing the mechanical systems, the water, the domestic water lines, which are corroded and in drastic need of attention.
So. When I had the windows replaced in my house, they did it in November. So what's the problem with doing it over the winter?
It's occupied as a commercial building, so we can do it over the winter, but essentially it involves a wrap, plastic wrap, around an entire commercial building. So it's like enveloping the commercial building in a giant condom for the entire winter. It's unsightly, and the poor folks inside will have no view.
Quick, move on.
That's a first.
Some people call that art.
And other people just say there's no view. So anyway.
Well, I have a question.
Yes, Commissioner Fish, save us.
So we, so Ms. Sturgeon, let me just, about two appeals ago from Design Review, I think it began to dawn on us that we were going to get more and more appeals of design review processes, in part because of the more frenetic activity in the marketplace, and which is a good sign. But it potentially put us in the position of playing referee on these things on a more regular basis. And we've had prior hearings where we've debated whether it's appropriate to use a roof-type substance as a siding of a building in the inner southeast and the aesthetic considerations and durability. And we've had other things. And I actually find these fascinating hearings because I find the staff reports interesting. You learn a lot about the history of our city. But I also want to – I don't want us to become the default design review commission. And I'm not sure how we can avoid that because people have a right to bring it here. So I just want to make sure we don't have a apparently Restore Oregon has not taken a formal position on this case. So from your point of view, there's a cost component. There's a timing component in terms of wanting to move forward on this project. And so both of those were yes. And the third is that you take a principled view that the design commission purview is limited to the exterior of the window, not the interior. Is that a fair,
that's,
fair characterization?
That's correct. And I'm also, to be quite candid with you, think that part of the reason that we're here is because there was what we feel a significant amount of stepping into the deep, deep minutiae of the building, of the design, which seems to me to be outside the purview of what the Design Review Commission is supposed to be tasked with doing.
Well, wasn't that because they didn't like the aluminum windows at all, and they wanted you to do steel like the originals?
Say that again, Commissioner.
The reason that these are getting into the minutia is because they initially denied the application altogether because they wanted you to do steel replacements.
They wanted us to refurbish the steel windows that were already there.
Yeah.
So, and that's impossible.
So the windows that you're proposing now are double pane?
They're double pane.
The aluminum looks sort of like wood on the exterior, so I guess the technology is evolving, so it's right. It's pretty hard to tell.
The
exterior
wood?
Doesn't look
no,
like...
No, the aluminum doesn't look like wood.
No.
It doesn't look like aluminum,
neither
does it?
Neither does the current.
Well, whatever. It looks, to me, with my... Maybe I'm just going so blind, I can't tell one way or another. But it's double plane, so it's energy efficient. What from your point of view, what is your understanding as to the benefit of that interior spacer bar? That's the part I can't quite figure out. I think I understand the muttons, although every time I say that, I think of someone with a haircut. But what is the aesthetic and functional benefit of the interior spacer bar as you understand it?
Our view is that there is limited to none in terms of benefit, and that's the issue. That's why we don't want to spend the additional $50,000 doing it.
Okay.
So the muntons are already, and spacers are already there on the outside of the windows.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple clarifying questions. You said you'd settled on a different glass product. Is that correct?
No.
What was the additional 60?
To upgrade to the Starfire, the 4%.
Right, that's
difference.
Different from the sample
yes,
that you
exactly.
brought today.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
So the larger
really
piece of glass is what we settled on, this piece right here.
We showed this.
Okay. So this is the glass you'll
That's
use?
The glass.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's the Starfire?
No.
Oh.
We can't show the Starfire because
oh,
it wasn't
right.
presented.
Okay.
It was referenced, but the sample wasn't shown.
So this is a sample of glass you're no longer going to use?
No, this is the glass we'd like to use.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I thought there'd been a change since...
No.
Since the hearing. Okay.
And is this in the record technically?
That is, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you rotate it this way just for a second?
So if the Starfire is referenced, we can't show it.
Thank you.
Okay.
And if that had a 4% adjustment, it would be arguably just a little lighter?
It's not even discernible. You cannot tell the difference.
Is there a does it naturally reflect any of the colors in the environment on the exterior, or is it just a neutral?
To the naked eye, you can see literally no difference between the two.
Okay.
I feel very torn on this issue. I mean, I care about historic preservation. I love this building. That glass does look dark to me. On the other hand, the first request that you restore the original windows, I don't feel was reasonable because you've mentioned it's not even possible, but they are like the least energy efficient windows you could probably have, I guess, unless you were missing some panes. So I support that upgrade.
So could I just suggest we let them finish their presentation and hear the rest of the
done.
Testimony?
Okay.
We're finished, Commissioner.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, not to complicate matters, but I wonder, would it make any... Could you do a clear glass on the second floor with the inside muttons to satisfy them, or... I mean, is there a compromise? I mean, looking at the building, there's this the second floor is different than the rest, and it's the closest to the eye. It's 16 feet away.
Well, if I have a second to just ask our architect who's here.
Oh, okay. If he's going to weigh in, he should probably come up to the...
Why don't we do this? We have an opportunity after this presentation for supporters to come forward and speak. And so if you don't mind waiting, we'll give you your own 3 minutes. Is that good? Cool.
I'm just looking for a way to balance the aesthetic concerns with the energy efficiency and the cost, which I think are all, each one is important mm-hmm. element.
And Mayor, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Because we have a member of the Design Review Commission here, and I just want to ask, does the Design Review Commission member that's here today intending to testify or just observe? Testify? Okay, so that will be after we hear from the...
Yeah, they get a 15-minute. Okay, so why don't we do this if we're done with questions for the appellant at this point? Why don't we let you take a seat, and thank you for your testimony. And